Covering the crew all season long on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Innings. Now, here's your host, Dominic Catronio.
How about that? Another L flag out there in center field. And tomorrow morning when you wake up, that Brewers pennant is getting on top of the Cubs pennant there on the manual scoreboard at Wrigley Field. Brewers win again, 5-2 over the Cubbies. Welcome in, everybody. I'm Dominic Catronio. It's another series victory for the Brewers. They keep that rolling in the right direction. Bryce Terang hits his team-leading seventh homer, tied for the team lead, I should say. But Jacob Mizrowski continues to be the story for the Brewers right now. 855-616-1620 is the phone number. One more time, 855-616-1620, or over on the YouTube live chat as well. I pay attention to it. I don't always mention it, so I will try to be a little more honest about it here tonight as we talk ball. The Brewers, yes, they're technically in first place, Jerry Augustine, but that's going to be the only time I really mention it the rest of the show. I don't care. It's May 19th. It's cool, but I think you and I both know, hey, there's a lot of season to go, but it's great to hear things going in the right direction.
Well, I think the ball club's excited to be there. I think that's one of the challenges coming in. They were just close enough behind to see if they could win this series and do something pretty special, and they've done that. They've won the series so far, going for some gravy tomorrow. But this is a ball club, you know, that goes out each and every day, and they play every game. They go to play the game that day. They play it as hard as they can. When the game's over, they turn the page, and they go on to the next one. And that's what's so neat about this ball club, and especially the way the ball club is playing now. You look at the way they're getting great pitching. They're playing good, solid defense. All tonight we had a couple of little errors, but overall, they played really good, strong defense. And I'm going to tell you, their offense is becoming just enough to win ball games. And it all tonight came down to Terang in the eighth inning, the big two-run homer that kind of helped seal this victory. But a good win for the Brewers, a good winning series for the Brewers, no question.
I mean, it's just quality baseball. Again, we'll talk about the left side of the infield later on in this program, I promise. But that's not the headline in this story. The headline is still Jacob Mizrowski, because here in the month of May, over these last four starts, he's been simply tremendous. Let me just read you the stat line from tonight and then for the month of May. Six innings, three hits, no runs, just one walk. It was the first batter of the game. Eight strikeouts. He only threw 74 pitches, 53 of them were strikes. We'll compound on that. We'll touch on that in a moment. But here in the month of May, Augie, four starts, did not allow a run. 3-0 record. He could have been 4-0 if it wasn't for the blown game against the Padres. 24 and a third innings, 37 strikeouts, just five walks, and I think this is the stat that impresses me the most. Zero extra base hits in 24 and a third innings this month. He has not allowed an extra base hit, and he's only walked five batters, opponents hitting 110 against him this month. We are seeing Jacob Mizrowski hit a brand new level, and man, it's making everybody salivate. It's just imagining of, oh my goodness, is this legit? Is this going to be another Cy Young type season we see here in Milwaukee?
Yeah, you know, it's so neat the way he goes about his job. And you see him in his last starts, and I think you'd agree with me, the month of May, it just seems like each and every start, he's up there and trying to accomplish something. Yeah, he would like to go deeper in the ball game, and tonight was a situation where he's had a couple games where he got later in the ball game and he has a little bit of issues. They're going to say, hey, let's cut it off right here. It's a long season. He did his job tonight. The bullpen is well rested. But I'll tell you, just the way he goes about his job going out there, when he gets a guy on base, how he just goes and he adds and he looks for the good location that he can with his pitches, and he makes those good, strong pitches. And it's really neat to see him. Yeah, he does have he's the type of guy that can not only down pitch east-west, he can pitch north-south and be very successful. But I'm going to tell you what, as much as that fastball, and it's just so dynamic, his secondary pitches have been playing big for him. He's been able to command them. He just goes out there, understands what he wants to do, and you can tell that he's really focused on saying, I'm going to be that complete pitcher each and every night.
Yeah, I'm pulling up the numbers. I mean, coming into the day, I had the note for the guys on television, but you know, coming into the day, opponents on non-fastballs this month were just 2-for-31. That's 0.65 on the non-fastball. I think we get enamored with triple-digit heat, and I get it. It's rare, and it's something really, really cool. And this is something we've been requesting of Miz since that great start against the Dodgers last year. when you're a pitcher, when you're mixing, that's when you're lethal. Now, granted, he made some adjustments to become more consistent with the secondary stuff. And that's what was really keeping him in the game today. This new cutter continues to shine. And I'd argue, Augie, he did not have his best stuff today. Pat Murphy mentioned post-game some trouble with the mound. We saw him have trouble with the landing spot. Maybe the clay was a little bit loose with the way that he's extending and striding. But whatever it may have been, even without his best stuff, even in the rocking environment that is Wrigley Field, he gives you a quality shutout start, six innings of work, with eight strikeouts and really nothing hard hit against him all night long. I mean, if this is the floor, we can dream and get a little overreactive on what he could become this season.
Yeah, you look at the quality stuff he has. Yeah, he has a great fastball. He can locate it in and out, up and down, and all that. When he needs a little bit extra, we saw him tonight. When he needed a little bit extra, he was able to go up in the zone, and they couldn't get off it. He's got a couple strikeouts up in the zone. But his cutter slider, I don't know if, Dom, you got to come up with a name for that pitch, because it's becoming his pitch, and it's one that he feels comfortable with, one that he's committed to, and he's throwing it for strikes. It's a really quality pitch, and he's been able to utilize it. And so that cutter slider, whatever we're going to call it, is a really impactful pitch that he's going to have. He's going to count on, and he feels comfortable with it. You can see out there when he goes to it, he feels comfortable. He can locate it. He can locate it on both sides if he wants. And I tell you, it's turning into a real, real neat pitch. Different pitchers learn different things as they go along. They learn about themselves. And I think this is one thing Miz is doing. He's learning more about himself along with the coaching staff, that Chris Hook and Henderson, the way they talk, the correspondence they have with him to make him better. I tell you, it's playing big dividends, and he's just getting better and better each time out.
Well, isn't it amazing that when you look at the numbers from a season ago, I thought over on television, Vinny Rutino had a great breakdown of, you know, the hand positioning, the way that he strengthened his core. Talking to Jim Henderson a couple of weeks ago about what's made Miz better this season, and talking it again to Chris Hook this week, and I talked about this on Brewers Weekly last Thursday, is, you know, the lower half has gotten stronger. That is a fact. He's gained two pant sizes in a good way. He's added mass in the lower half on top of strengthening his core. And I think what maybe people don't understand about what makes Miz and this pitching development system so incredible is it's night and day when you watch the side-by-side of last season versus this season. The balance, the strength, where the energy is coming from. I mean, this is really an old-school type of thinking. Granted, we have the modern metrics and technology to make sure you're doing it right, Augie, where they always tell you, you got to throw from your legs. You got to extend. You got to throw and create from your biggest muscles, and that's your glutes, that's your quads, and Miz is starting to tap into that. And even on a day, again, he didn't get to 100 miles an hour past the fifth inning. I mean, the fifth and sixth innings, he did not have a single pitch that hit triple digits. And yet, he was still having guys off balance, a repeatable motion, and it's something that should be celebrated of what the Brewers have been able to create with him and the rest of the staff.
Well, the one thing about Miz, there's two styles of pitchers. There's what we call a tall and fall guy. A guy comes over the top and he stays tall and he drives to the plate. Miz isn't that guy. He's more of a duck and drive, where he sits and then he drives to the plate. Two things that he's done that's really improved him, that I think, is where he stands on the rubber. He goes to the far left edge of the rubber, and that's an angle. He feels comfortable. That opens up the plate to his delivery and allows him to throw the ball to both sides, up and down, and even better with his secondary pitches. I think that was huge. Number two, I think the part where you just mentioned it, taking his hands from below his waist where they were last year and bring him up. When you're a duck and drive guy, it's got it, getting to that good, solid spot each and every time when you go to release the ball to the plate, that's important. That has really helped him, because it makes him stay back a little bit longer, gets his arm in a good spot to release to go home, and I think that's made a huge difference on him for him. And so he just goes and he does his job. He understands what he's been able to do. He's made the adjustments, and he just goes out there, and he's got confidence in what he's doing. And, you know, he's just something really special. You don't see it every day, and all you can do is just sit back and enjoy it, because he is something that you don't see, and you got to enjoy what he does each and every time he goes in a ball game.
And the last thing to kind of prove the point we're making here is when he's throwing strikes, his stuff and the way that he is deceptive with his extension, it works in the zone. It's just, the thing has always been, all the way up to last year. Will you throw strikes? And right now, I mean, it's funny, over on MLB.com, on the back-end research portal, this one isn't available to the public, but I have it. I know, sick brag, whatever. But the point being here is I have a total column here of number of pitches thrown on the season and the number of strikes he's thrown on the season. And it's perfectly round numbers right now, so that's how I can make this. He has thrown 900 pitches this season, Augie. 600 of them have been strikes. Two-thirds of his pitches have been strikes. That is exactly the dream scenario. That is better than league average. And, oh, by the way, he throws 100. Wrap it up, man. Good night. That's exactly the dream scenario Bruce are hoping to develop him into.
I'll tell you one thing, Dom. You're a master to come up with that stuff. It's phenomenal, but it's so true. You know, it makes a lot of sense of being able to command the strike zone. We now see a confident Miz out there from last year, kind of trying to find himself, trying to find that strike zone. The ball, him getting away. And we had that a little bit in Boston when he got in that last inning where the ball got away from him and didn't have that delivery as good as you want. But this year, you can see a young man out there that's confident in one thing. I'm going to throw strikes, and you're going to have to beat me. And when I have to go and I have to add something, I'm going to add it. When I have to make a secondary good pitch, I'm going to make it. I have that confidence. It's so much fun to watch. And that statistic you gave is just, that's unbelievable with when you talk about the number of strikes that he has thrown so far this year.
I mean, it's the only time I'm going to be able to point out the round numbers, I imagine. So it just worked out. Happy accident. All good. Brewers get the victory. We'll get to some texts. 855-616-1620. 855-616-1620. The offense was good. Not great, but they got the dub. That's all that matters. We'll break that down coming up next on 620 WTMJ. Brewers win. How about it? 5-2. It's another series victory for the Brewers. They win their first series of the year against the Cubbies. They're 28-18. It's a season high, 10 games above 500 for the Brewers. They've also now won each of their last four series, because the Cardinals game got rained out, of course. But excluding that split, it's actually now six straight series, going back to Arizona, Washington, split with St. Louis because of the rainout, sweep New York, win the series against San Diego, win the series against Minnesota, and now you've won the series against Chicago. They are rolling, and a lot of it has to do with the offense getting back to full strength, Augie. Today, the headline is Bryce Turan. He hit a two-run basket shot. They had 11 hits in today's game. Yes, they left 10 runners on base. Yes, they went 4-for-16 with runners in scoring position. But I'll always take a game where they could have scored more and still won the game as opposed to begging and pleading for run-scoring opportunities. To see everybody back, to see Yelich in the order, to see Churio in the order, didn't even need Vaughn today. Bauer's extended his on-base streak. This is starting to look like the lineup it was supposed to.
Yeah, it's so impressive. The last few games since Churio and Vaughn have come back, you put Churio in that top spot. You know, you take Churio's Trang, Contreras, Yelich, and Mitchell, who's swinging the bat, doing a nice job, but otherwise you have Bauer's in a game against a right-hand pitcher. That's top six guys have been swinging the bat very well, and you see them starting to come in their own, starting to get that confidence. One guy picks up another. One guy gets hot one day, next guy, you can't hold these guys down. I really like their approach and the way they've been going about it. They're coming up with big hits. They're putting the ball in play, doing the little things you have to do to win ball games. But like you said, getting healthy is so important, and this team is getting healthy. And I'll tell you what, now, Christian Yelich, get him back in that lineup. He's been swinging the bat really well. He's a big added feature this ball club, that kind of guy that sets the tone. And I'll tell you what, they're going to swing the bat even better than they have been. But I'm going to tell you what, it's good to see that lineup the way it is now and starting to get healthy, no question.
Yeah, Bryce Turan going 3-for-4 and adding a walk in there too, reaching base four times. Churio was only on base once with a single, but then Yelly had the double down a left field line. Mitchell with an RBI single in the first. I'll double tap on him in a moment. We talked about Jake Bowers in yesterday's show. He's 2-for-5 today with another RBI. His on-base streak is up to 20 games right now. And this is, again, a game that they didn't even have Vaughn in the starting lineup. We'll probably see Gary in there tomorrow, even though they're facing a righty, unless they want to just have William catch all three games and maybe they want to have Gary DH just for kicks. I don't know. But the point being, right now, the Brewers' offense is starting to get a little bit of both, right? They hit a couple of homers yesterday with Bowers and Yelich. They hit one today from Turan. They're getting on-base opportunities. Again, 4-for-16, no one's going to really be proud of that, given you got there's that many opportunities and didn't do enough with it, especially given two of those hits were in the first three innings. But what I see with this Brewers team right now, Augie, is just that when you feel like you previously would have had a break, and I'm not trying to bury these guys while they're down in AAA, but look, when Greg Jones was coming to the plate, when in past seasons, like when Oliver Dunn was coming to play, it was just a little different. And we'll talk about the left side of the infield, I'm sure. But the point being is that it's kind of unrelenting. And to have everybody have some sort of special tool, right? Churio's dynamic. Terang's got a little bit of everything. Or even at the bottom of the order, Hamilton with a 3-5 sprint up the line at first. Like, everyone does something a little bit differently. And when the home runs come, that's when this team becomes unbeatable.
There's no question. I'll tell you, this team is going to hit some home runs as the weather gets a little bit warmer and they're getting with it. But, you know, them getting healthy and getting guys in the lineup and doing the things that they have to do. You say with Cheerio and Terang, Contreras and Yelich at the top are just four guys at bat that they do so many things. They're patient at the plate. They put the ball in play. They're the headliners of this lineup. There's no question about it. But you know what? Everybody chipping in. You know, you look at today's game, and yes, they were 4-for-16, but they left 10 runners on. They got guys on base just about every inning. Had that opportunity. If you get opportunity, that's what you need. And some days you're gonna hit well with runners in scoring position. Some days that pitcher is gonna make some great pitches and get out of it. But what you're doing is you're applying pressure to the opponent, and that's exactly what an offense wants to do. And that's exactly what they did tonight.
A couple of texts that have rolled in here. Alex from Oshkosh. Fly the L, Miz, the first pitcher with 5 straight starts of 8 or more strikeouts and no extra base hits. Yeah, that one came from OptiStats. That's a good one there as well. Doug, Brewers back on top where they belong. If the Miz keeps this stretch up, he could do what Sabathia did on his amazing run. Let's get the sweep. Hey, let's be grateful that this isn't a rental, Doug. This is going to be here for a while as well. This one from Mark. I hope Miz isn't injured since he was pulled so soon. No, we mentioned it a moment ago, but reiterate here. Issues with the mound. They had a fresh bullpen. Thursday is an off day at 72 pitches. And again, the velo is slowly ticking down. It's a long season. No need to push it in that regard. So it's good to see Miz get the W, and it's no problem there. So let's go ahead and talk about what is missing from this team. What could be done to this club? We did get a health update today. We'll touch on that in just a moment. We'll talk about who's hot, who's cold coming up on the other side of the break right here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. Winner, winner. Brewers win on Taco Tuesday. It's not normal that I do Tuesdays. It's going to be here as the Brewers get the 5-2 victory with Jerry Augustine on Dom Catronio. Who's hot, who's cold is brought to you by Cider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. With summer heat coming fast, don't get caught without a working AC when you need it most. Cider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical is offering $25 off AC tune-ups, but only through the end of May, and appointments are filling up fast, so act now. Schedule your appointment at cider.com. That's S-E-I-D-E-R.com before it's too late. The hot is easy, Miz. We can mention Terang. We also got to give another courtesy mention to Jake Bowers here, too. But the thing I want to point out here, Garrett Mitchell, and this may seem like a little thing, Dom, he went 1-for-4 with an RBI single today. What's the hubbubaloo about? Well, he made a little tweak that last homestand to his batting stance after that 3-strikeout game against the Padres. And he told me, I know it sounds shocking, but I feel a lot better at the plate right now, and I feel like results are going to come soon. Well, since that 3-strikeout game in the game 1 against the Padres, he went 0-for-3 the next day with 2 Ks. But he's only got 4 strikeouts over his last 5 games, and I know what you think of Dom, that's a pretty low bar. With Garrett's a guy that strikes out 40% of the time, and the big problem has been the top of the zone fastball. And now over these last 4 games, we've seen a hit in each of them, and we've seen multiple hits on that top of the zone fastball for him, including yesterday's homer, or I should say the homer on Saturday in Minneapolis. Today's RBI single came on an elevated heater. I'm just putting a pin in it, Augie. Monitor the fact that Garrett Mitchell is starting to hit that ball like he knows he needs to be able to address that weakness moving forward.
Yeah, coming up with a big two-out hit, I thought he had a good bat, got a ball up over the plate and just went right with it, right back up the middle. Showed that he had the confidence of staying back, letting the ball travel, hit the ball where it's pitched, and he did a really nice job. I agree with you. It seems like he's a little bit more patient at the plate, being able to put the bat on the ball, making sure that he knows the strike zone really well. He's very, very good at that, of taking balls and strikes, but changing around a little bit, being a little bit more patient, trying not to do too much. And I thought the at bat in the first inning when he got the base hit up the middle was just a really good at bat of just taking what you're given and hit the ball back right back up the middle. A really good at bat.
Another thing that's hot is the bullpen. I know today was a little wonky for Aaron Ashby. Tough day for him, but to have Chad Patrick come in and get the final out of the eighth inning, McGill get back on the horse, 1-2-3 inning with a pair of strikeouts, Uribe 1-2-3 inning with a strikeout too. I love what we're seeing from the bullpen right now. And the other benefit is Jared Koenig threw an up-down bullpen today. So that's going to get better here soon. The fact that he's nearing a return, hopefully, to health after having an odd spring training. He's missed about a month with a sprain in his left elbow. The Brewers feel he's healthy enough and getting better. And it's just a reminder that the Brewers are doing this, you know, with Shane Drouin and Chad Patrick in their bullpen. They don't need them in their bullpen. But when Jared Koenig comes back, that's going to help them get better too.
There's no question. I think Jerry Koenig has always been, last year was a key. I think he's a key to this bullpen. He shows he's that veteran guy. He comes in and he's that setup guy that he comes up and he throws strikes. He's been getting at the hitters and he gives you those good outings. He's that go-between when you need somebody in that eighth inning. Tonight, I thought everybody threw the ball well. I thought Aaron had a little bit of struggles with his breaking ball, couldn't get it over, couldn't locate his fastball as well as. But then Chad Patrick comes in. I want to give kudos to Chad Patrick. Started out Conforto with a breaking ball on the inside part of the plate, showing him that he throws that cutter on the inside part of the plate, then missed with a little sinker away, came back with that sinker. I thought that was a great pitch because Conforto was probably looking for that cutter on the inside part of the plate because he knows he has that cutter. Going away with that sinker, getting him the ground ball to second base, I thought was a great sequence of pitching and really did a good job. So Chad Patrick, I just tip your hat because he could. A lot of times you see him come back, he'll go cutter, or comes back to that cutter a lot. Tonight he went with a pitch that got away from him. He got a ground ball with it. I thought that was a great execution at a real crucial time.
And the last thing we got to touch on, though, as far as the who's cold and what could it mean for the Brewers moving forward is, hey, it was a bad night for the left side of the infield, right? Renjifo goes 0-for-4, Hamilton goes 1-for-3 with a walk. But then, you know, the error in the first inning luckily didn't come back to bite David Hamilton. The error in the eighth inning did score a run for the Cubs on Renjifo. You know, we talked about it over the weekend. I've put my hat in the ring saying I'd love to see Jett Williams get a shot, and I wonder how much longer this is going to take for the Brewers to at least give him a shot. And Pat Murphy addressed it actually before the game on Monday, saying we need to figure out, is that player going to come up and play every day? And then just to reiterate, the jump between AAA and the show is bigger than it has ever been. And the reason why you're cautious and you hold back is because, you know, you think you're making an upgrade in your eyes, in the fans' eyes. Oh, just call up the kid from AAA, whomever it may be, whether it's Cooper, whether it's Jett, whether it's Eddie Leonard, whether it's Luis Lara, whatever. You call up the kid. He's going to be good. Well, what happens if that jump reveals itself? What happens if it is difficult for this young player on his way up? How do you shake, you know, a slow start to his big league career, if it happens? I'm not hoping for it to happen. Of course not. I'm hoping that everybody has success in the big leagues, but this league is very, very hard. And I'm wondering, you know, Augie, what it takes in your eyes right now for the Brewers to say, you know what, Jett, let's give you 100 plate appearances, or Cooper, whomever it is, let's give you 100 plate appearances in the show. Let's see what we've got. And because I remind folks, this time last year, the Brewers were 21-25. Caleb Durbin was hitting like a .180. Right? I mean, they did not have third base figured out at all at this point last season. And look what it became. So I would like to see that runway come at some point for one of these guys that I think is nearing ready to go in AAA.
Yeah, you know, those are some of the toughest decisions to make, Dom. I tell you, we can just switch over to the Cubs with Matt Shaw. Came up and had the struggles that he had last year. Yeah, by the end of the season, he was helping the ball club out, but it took a period of time of going down and coming back up. And I think that's the hardest thing to do for an organization, trying to figure out who you bring up, what you're going to do, and is he going to get enough playing time? Are you going to allow him to to go through the ups and downs that most players do go through and see what happens. This is a really tough decision. They do have guys on there that are playing really well. I think when their time to come, I think they have a great manager in Rick Sweet that can say, you know what, I think they're ready. And I think when they use Rick's thoughts and the ideas of what he thinks that guy can do when he gets to the big leagues, I think that has a lot to do with it. But I agree with you. I think there's something that has to be done with this left side. I don't know what they're going to do and how they're going to go about it, but they have to be deliberate. They're playing good baseball. So I think right now you're going to see they might be a little bit more patient, but there's just a see what these young players are doing in AAA that can come up. But playing time is most important, Dom. They got to give these guys an opportunity. Like you just said, I like you to bring somebody up, but I like to see them get 100 at-bats, see what they can do. That's a tough decision, and the Brewers will make the decision when they think it's right.
And just to reiterate of how development works, it's not in a straight line. It's not one size fits all. It's not the same for everybody. Just look back to 2023, right? Just go look back to Bryce Turang. His first 250 plate appearances in the show, he was hitting .198 with a .573 OPS. And now, four seasons later, he's leading the team in, tied for the team lead in home runs. He's one of the best hitters in the National League. He's probably going to be the starting second baseman for the National League, right? Just let this happen. It doesn't all have to come at once. People will struggle in the big leagues. Whoever you call up, whatever decision you do ultimately make. But I think the world, the baseball world, just needs to avoid that mob mentality of you need to be great and save this franchise right now. That's not what we're going for here. The Brewers have always been an organization that says, let's make sure it's cooked. Let's make sure it's a perfect medium rare, okay? He's going to go through lumps in the big leagues, but we're going to make sure that he's got a support system around him that can make sure he learns from his mistakes at the highest level. So I think that the way that it's going to go for the Brewers, again, I reiterate, Jet Williams will play in the big leagues this year. I think Luis Lara will play in the big leagues this year, unless, you know, big leaguers have something to say about that with their performances too. The point being, the Brewers have so much depth, the Brewers have so much talent that they can have this luxury while being 10 games above 500, still having things where you're going, I wonder if I pull this lever, what will happen? I wonder if I call that guy, what will happen? And that is a great position to be in. There are a lot of winning clubs that cannot say the same about themselves right now.
I agree with you. I think that the one thing that this organization do is they have that abilities to be patient, abilities to make decisions. And when they feel that they can give that young player that come up to be comfortable, don't put any things on expectations on them, just allow them to go play. I think that's the most important part, is allowing a guy to come up and don't have the expectations. Let him play what he can do, and let him make the adjustments. Like you just said, nobody's perfect. Nobody comes up and it's bang, bang, and it stays that way your whole career. There's ups and downs in the game of baseball. The Brewers have that in their organization where they have that ability to do what they want to do as far as bringing players up and sending them back down. So they'll make the adjustments when it's due, but I could see some of these young players come up and get an opportunity, and we'll see what they can do.
This is a fun time to be a Brewer fan right now, top to bottom, prospect fan, big league fan, people fan. I mean, this is just a really fun time to watch the Brewers play some great, great baseball and to do it against the Cubs and going for a sweep tomorrow with Kyle Harrison on the mound. And I think we're all fired up to see what the lefty will do against Chicago for his introduction to Wrigley Field.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I'm sure he's really looking forward to Wrigley Field. It's a place that everybody wants to go and see what they can do and experience it. And it's going to be a good matchup. Cabrera is a guy they got from Miami. He's a top-notch pitcher, and he's struggling a little bit of late. But I'm going to tell you what, I think we have a great matchup for tomorrow. I think it's going to be a great game to watch, and hopefully the Brewers can play the way they have the last two games and come up with a sweep. That would be fun to see.
It would be great. Jerry Augustine, appreciate you as always. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right. Talk to you tomorrow, Don.
All right. Let's go down the box score, go a little beyond the box score as well. Some things that I liked is talking about some buy or sell. We also got to hand out our player of the game. We'll hear from Murph. We'll get to some highlights. Plenty of shows still to come. Going to the top of the hour right here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. Welcome back. Let's do a little buy or sell now as we go beyond the box score. Buy or Sell is brought to you by Tony Wendorf and Associates. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, trust your friends at Tony Wendorf and Associates, one of the top real estate teams in Wisconsin. Empowered by Keller Williams, they bring faith, family, and a red carpet experience to every home deal. Step up to the plate with a winning team behind you, wendorfteam.kw.com. You know, some of the things that I look at when I look at a box score, when I look at some of the baseball savant stuff, when I look at some of the advanced stuff here, you know, I think that what's really jumping out to me about the Brewers right now is just simply they're hitting the ball hard. And maybe in the past we get a little obsessed with, you know, oh, they don't hit enough home runs, or they don't do this, they don't do that. Whatever. There's a lot of things that the Brewers don't do. We know that. Okay, but of the 12 hardest hit balls in today's game, now part of this had to do with facing Jacob Mizorowski, of course. But of the 12 hardest hit balls in today's game, 10 of them are Brewers. That's some pretty good stuff. William, his single was 110 off the bat. Churio's single was 107 off the bat. Garrett's single was 106 off the bat. Bauer's single, 104 off the bat. I mean, there's only so much you can do when you look at, you know, a box score, right? When you look at a base hit. And I'm buying the fact that the Brewers have a lot of good stuff going on under the hood with their offense, in particular with those guys. You know, I'm trying to, you know, help understand about bat speed and why it's so important. And what I would tell, you know, high schoolers, not little league, not like travel ball, but what I would tell high schoolers, if you're listening and if you're watching big leaguers or even JUCO players, the fastest way to get noticed right now is bat speed. For a hitter, it's the equivalent of the pitcher touching 90 when he's 17 years old, right? What can you do that shows you have the tool that says, when I make contact, I'm going to hit the ball hard? Now, you can teach discipline. You can teach, you know, strategy and understanding how a pitcher might start to attack you. But you got to get stronger. You got to get twitchier. Jackson Churio had a swing today at 80 miles an hour. Jake Bowers had a swing today at 83 miles an hour. Garrett Mitchell had multiple swings at 79 miles an hour. Both of those, or all of those really, are well above league average. I mean, league average is like 72 miles an hour for bat speed, and that's major league average, okay? Mind that. Whereas strikes, you know, with two strikes, that bat speed goes down a little bit. When you're in a 2-0 count, that bat speed goes up a little bit. And the guys that swing the bat the hardest get the most damage done, just like we see with pitchers. The guys that throw the hardest have the most margin for error. On a day that, again, Jacob Mizorowski only threw 21 pitches above 100 miles an hour today, and we're saying only like that's a big deal. But again, the fact that his cruising speed can be 98, 99 miles an hour, and it's not a big deal, the fact that he can live at that speed and still get big league hitters out, and then when he has the 102, the 103, and he's getting Aaron Judge out, and he has that in the tank on the days that the adrenaline is flowing, that's where you're creating the biggest room you possibly can, right? You're trying to raise your floor and while ultimately raising your ceiling while doing so. The foundation needs to be there, and the Brewers have so much of that strong foundation from some of their guys they have on this club that can help them win games as much as possible. The other thing under the hood that I really wanted to point out that I really liked in today's game is, again, Trevor McGill. McGill continues to show signs that he's getting back on track. I know the velo is in triple digits right now, but to sit 97 again, to not have it go down, to see the vert, the carry, the ride that we talk about all the time, get back to what it was to last season, averaging 20 inches of induced vertical break, which is great news. The curveball being thrown for a strike, the curveball getting swings and misses too, on top of the fastball getting swings and misses. He got 5 whiffs today on just 15 pitches, 9 swings total. That's a great sign for Trevor McGill moving forward. And throwing in the 7th inning when the game was still only 3-0, really love to see that from the big righty moving things forward in the right direction. Real quick, though, while we're on it, looking around the Central, the Reds won today 4-1, and the Cardinals walked off the Pirates in 10 innings today, 9-6. So now all eyes go to Pittsburgh tomorrow. Pittsburgh's down to 24-24. If they lose tomorrow, it'll be the first time since April 14th that not all of the teams in a division are above, at or above 500. It's pretty impressive that we're still here on May 19th and every team in this division is at or above 500. Now, granted, we're finally starting to see some divisional matchups, which is the reason why it held on for so long as it did. But when you look at what the Brewers have done at 28 and 18, 10 games above 500, they are them and the Cardinals are the only teams in the division that have not been under 500 at any point this season. I think that's something to, you know, be proud of as well. They have the currently tied for the fourth most wins in the National League. Atlanta has 33, which is amazing that they're already running away with the East, but you never know. San Diego is going to start to come back down to earth here soon, but they've won four in a row since leaving Milwaukee. The Dodgers are at 29 wins, and we see them this weekend. The Dodgers are in action right now with those Padres all tied up at four in the bottom of the seventh. What I'm getting at here, the Brewers are very clearly one of the best teams in the National League. The Cubs are also one of the best teams in the National League. And taking a series from them, regardless of what the calendar says, carries weight for the rest of the season. Getting a sweep, woo, that speaks volumes to the rest of the league. That would be great to do it tomorrow against a really tough cookie in Edward Cabrera. You've got Kyle Harrison available. That's great to see for the Brewers. But I'm selling the fact that, you know, they're in first place. I know people love to look at the standings in May and they care about this sort of thing. I'm selling it, man. I just don't care. We just saw it last year the other way around. The Brewers were four games under 500 this week. They weren't even really consistently playing great till what, the end of June, early July? So there is still a lot of season to be played. Do not be doing a victory lap on May 19th because it can only hurt you. No one wants to be the team going, oh, man, you know, head between your legs. Oh, boy, here we go again. Like, I'm not trying to be doom and gloom. I'm not trying to tell you to not celebrate. But just a reminder, it's May 19th. There is a lot of season to go. And maybe it goes great and it's a false alarm. But the Cardinals have been better than everybody anticipated. The Pittsburgh still has great pitching. The Dodgers, need I say more? Philly's playing better lately. So it's very interesting to see what's going to become of the National League. Another text here from Errol in Illinois. First place Brewers. Hey, what were we just talking about? I'm just kidding. I like how that sounds. Miz supposed to be leading candidate for Cy Young Award in the NL at the moment. Don't look now, but Sal's up to 227. Good to get going to the game tomorrow. Would love to see a broom job. Yeah, enjoy that. Aaron down in Illinois. Over on the live chat, this one from Dan. It carries weight because the staff is stacked and healthy, and some of the bats are on the way up. Another one in here, too, asking about Eddie's Leonard. Look, Eddie's is not on the 40-man roster. They would need to create a corresponding move to get him onto the 40-man roster. And with all due respect and just sort of the bluntness of what the Brewers, from what I've heard of what the Brewers think of Eddie's Leonard, it's more of a depth position where, you know, it's hard to say to a guy, I hope that you make it to the big leagues, but then also at the same time say, we need you in AAA as depth in case something goes wrong. A reminder, Eddie's doesn't play short. Eddie's has really become a corner outfielder and a quasi third baseman. The defensive metrics don't love him at third right now, but we'll see. I think the Brewers would give it to Jett or to Cooper before they give it to Eddie's Leonard, but I've been wrong before. It could be wrong again in that regard. We're going to hear from the manager coming up next, and then we'll relive it with some highlights as well. Brewers get the victory 5-2 over the Cubbies right here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. Brewers win. How about it? Keep on winning. Keep having fun. Keep flying the L flag. And I guess keep hearing Green Bay sucks. You know, I was laughing because they were chanting Green Bay sucks. And then, I mean, honestly, I don't tell people how to fan, right? That's just not my thing. Rivalries are fun. Enjoy it. But chanting Green Bay sucks when the top two in your order are up with a reliever on the ropes and you have a chance to, like, really start to blow it open, Just felt like a miss. Just felt a little odd. Just felt a little weird. But they won the playoff game. They get the bragging rights in the football for a year, but the Brewers won the playoff game in baseball. So they get the bragging rights for the year. That's how this is supposed to work. Anyway, let's get to our player of the game. It's a pretty easy pick. It's brought to you by International Autos Group. And just like the game's MVP, you can drive it a summer in style and save up to $15,000 on select in-stock models. Visit IAMilwaukee.com. International Autos, where ordinary needs to be extraordinary. Miz, need I say more? I mean, it's getting ridiculous at this point. I think the other cool thing that I think we've kind of underrated about Miz, given all the fear about him on opening day and the slow build up with his pitch count and everything, he's got at least 5 in all 10 of his starts. That was not the case last year. I think that's a great development for Miz moving forward. He's an easy pick for player of the game. He's worked at least into the 6th in all 4 of his starts here in May, and it could have been past the 6th back on May 1st if it wasn't for the cramping for the first time back against the Nationals. Brewers get the victory. The manager, Pat Murphy, spoke to the media and also gave some insight on Miz.
The mound's a little different here. First inning, finding his release point, finding his footing there. The mound's a little different here than it is in the bullpen. So, it was finding his footing in the first inning, and then he rolled after that. Very, very good. Ran out of gas, and understandable. You know, young kid, throws hard. It just, he said he was good. You know, that was it.
When you say ran out of gas, was it a little cramping again at the end?
No.
Or just he said?
No. Said, look, I think I can give you this inning, the 6th. Not sure I can give you anything past that. So he did it. Did a great job of it.
The efficiency in a lot of those middle innings again and the strike throwing kind of stood up. Do you think he took a little bit off on purpose for that reason?
I don't think so. No, I don't think. You know, some days, again, the mound was a little different for him. If you watch a lot of the pitches, he was slipping a little bit. But, I mean, it's hard to somebody. It's okay to have a tick or two off your velocity once in a while. But he's interested in staying ahead in the count and learning how to pitch and not just throw the ball real hard. So I thought he did a great job of it, really.
What about Chad's composure to come in the 8th and then get the
last out? He's showing us over and over. He's that kid. You know, he's showing that to us over and over in that role. He did it last year in the postseason. He's doing it. He's doing it again this year. So that was big. That was big.
Speaking of big, Murph, Terang's home run after that challenge to have a little bit of breathing room, did that let you?
Yeah, I mean, we didn't change our pitching plan, you know, because the guys were already, he hit a home run with 2 outs, so the guys were already heated and ready to go. But it was huge. 4 times tonight we struck out with a man on 3rd and less than 2 outs. So it shows you how good that pitcher's breaking ball was. It was all on breaking ball. And, usually you don't win games if you're striking out with a man on 3rd and less than 2 4 times. And 4 good hitters who are hot. All of them are swinging the bat really good. But, usually don't win those games. But our guys hung in there. They played hard. They were relentless. They kept going after it.
Certainly were. And how about we hear from Jacob Mizorowski today? This is courtesy of Brewers.tv. Chatting with the media scrum as well.
You know, I saw the guys on the other side doing their job, so it was one of those things that, like, I got to figure out my stuff and do my job on my side. So, yeah.
As we saw you, a factor for you. Can you just talk about, like, how it affected you, if at all?
Yeah, I mean, the lead plant leg, like, was it sliding around a little bit and nothing crazy. You know, had it figured out and then, yeah, obviously had him fix it in the 6th, so, not a big factor.
These are rivalry games. This is a battle for first place, even though it's only May. How much fun are the games like this to be in?
Yeah, I mean, it's always fun to face someone that you're, hour away from. It's fun that just, the fans get behind you, and it's a lot of fun in that way, too. If, you know, you get chirped going into the bullpen, and, with the bleacher creatures, it's fun.
Does that go into the sort of intensity of those innings? Does that go into where you find the point where you're kind of feeling like you're at the end?
With what?
The atmosphere. Does the atmosphere contribute to, like, when you feel like it's time?
No. I mean, I think it's just my body. I think it's, the body kind of, hits a wall. You know, if anything, you kind of just get tired. Like, I was giving it everything I got for 6 innings and, just hit a wall.
Mentally, do you think you could have gone a 7th with this, like you couldn't, or was it just both you're like, I'm capped out after 6?
I think it was more just like, we were up by 3 and it, it's not worth me trying to scrounge 3 outs and, I can turn it over to, our bullpen who's been excellent and, have those guys take off and do their job and, succeed.
How much does that faith in the guys that are coming in behind you play into your knowledge of how you manage your effort through you know, the first 5-6 outings?
Yeah, yeah, it's I think it's huge. I think it's that's an amazing thing just to, you know, be able to roll out there and go into that sixth, seventh inning and really let it eat and understand that, like, hey, if something goes wrong, those guys behind me's got my back and, you know, they can come clean up an inning if need be.
They certainly did. Brewers got the job done, 5-2 over the Cubbies. Highlights coming up next on 620 WTMJ.
This.
Brought it back!
And this.
It is gone!
Time for tonight's highlights.
Just so excited to give you the highlights. Ben Brown going for the Cubs. Jacob Mizorowski going for the Brewers. And it all started with a one-out walk to Bryce Turang. Contreras singled as well with runners on first and second and two outs. Garrett Mitchell got the party started at
the first. 1-1 pitch to Mitchell is a ground ball back up the middle into right center field, a base hit. Turang's around third. He's going to score. Contreras on his way to third, and Garrett Mitchell delivers an RBI single. And the Brewers have scored an early run against Ben Brown here in the top of the first inning.
And then the Brewers and Jacob Mizorowski would set the tone for the rest of the day as well. After a leadoff walk and an error that should have been a double play, Mizorowski took it into his own hands.
1-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. Struck him out. Got him with the cut fastball. And Miz, after allowing the first two to reach, gets a pop-up and a couple of strikeouts and puts up a zero in the bottom of the first.
How about that? And he would strike out two more in the second inning as well. We move forward to the third. The Brewers got a couple more base runners. A leadoff single by Jackson Churio. He got the second on a single by Turang. A little chopper for Contreras had men on the corners. And some good fortune for the Brewers going their way.
The 2-2 pitch. Down in the dirt. It gets away from Amaya to the backstop. And Churio can come in. He'll score on a wild pitch. Oh, he spiked the curveball that time. And the Brewers get the run home with two out. It's 2-0 in the third inning.
That was during Garrett Mitchell's at-bat. He would ultimately draw a walk, and Jake Bowers wouldn't waste any time in his second plate
appearance.
Now
he bats with 2-1 and two out in the third, and swings and lines it into right center field for a base hit. Around third comes Contreras. He'll score. Throw goes to third, where Mitchell is in safely. Jake Bowers, another big swing for the Brewers. RBI single to right. It's 3-0 Milwaukee in the third.
It's 20 straight games on base for Jake Rake Bowers. In the fifth inning, Miz allowed his first hit of the game, or second hit of the game, I beg your pardon. A Dansby Swanson clean single through the right side. He struck out PCA for a second time and got by with a little help from his friends.
Mizorowski's 2-0. He is a ground ball. One hops the glove of Renjifo at third. Goes to second for one. On to first. In time. A great stretch by Bowers. And the Brewers turn a 5-4-3 double play. Mizorowski works around the leadoff single. Puts up another zero.
He was really moving fast in the middle of this game. He would be done after six innings in just 74 pitches, but shutout ball with eight more Ks. Brewers were still stuck in neutral with a 3-0 lead. They would go 4-for-16 with runners in scoring position. The fourth hit, though, was pretty loud.
3-1. And Turang, a high fly ball left center field. PCA's back at the track, and it is gone! Bryce Turang, a two-run blast. There's that insurance the Brewers were looking for. Number 7 on the year for Bryce Turang. Got himself into that 3-1 count, and he did that damage.
How about it? 5-0 Brewers. Now, the Cubs would score two in the bottom of the eighth inning against Aaron Ashby. Only one of them was earned. But nonetheless, Chad Patrick would save the day in the eighth, and then Abner Uribe would come on for the ninth.
Kicks, delivers, and a chopper left side. Big hop for Ortiz. Plants his feet, throws to first in time, and the Brewers take down the Cubs by a final score of 5-2. The Brewers have won the first two games of this series, and they can go for a sweep tomorrow night here at Wrigley. The Brewers are in first place in the NL Central, winning their 28th game of the season here tonight.
How about it? 5 runs on 11 hits for the Crew with just one error. 2 runs on 7 hits with one error for the Cubs. The Brewers left 10. The Cubs left 7. The winner is the Miz. The loser is Ben Brown. So, as we get ready to wrap up the program here in just a moment, a reminder, tomorrow, same time, same place. Yeah, that's right. Night game getaway day. Just the easy bus ride up the road, of course. But night game getaway, same time, 6:40 first pitch. We're on the air at 6:05 with the On Deck show built by Menards. I will be with you after the game again tomorrow for a post-game show, too. Thursday, tickets still available for Christian Yelich's home plate charity concert over at the brand new Landmark Credit Union live right next door to Fiserv Forum. Jake Owen taking the stage. Charlie Behrens is an MC as well. It should be a great night of fun. It's got bigger every year. I'll be out there making some content with the guys as well. Hope to see you out there as a fan too. You can check that out at Yelich Home Plate online. So, again, we're on the air tomorrow at 6:40, off day on Thursday, and then the Dodgers come to town for a weekend series. Friday at 7, Saturday at 6:15 because it's on Fox, and Sunday at 1, and then the Cardinals come to town. Should be a very, very fun homestand. But there's one more game to go tomorrow. Kyle Harrison and Edward Cabrera, your pitching matchup tomorrow evening. That's going to do it for our program here tonight. Our producer has been Matt Yazel. I'm Dom Catronio. Until next time, keep on swinging.